is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harris and Moore Expedition through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner on this program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And we're also joined tonight with Frank Briscoe, the gospel preacher for Santo, the Santo Church of Christ. And he's going to be running our board and our phones tonight. And we're going to have a good program for you. We recently received a request from one of our listeners that we address the current situation in the United States, which is concerning a lot of people, about the refugees coming into our country. Most of these refugees are coming in from the Middle East, Syria in particular, and there are those who contend that we should allow our borders to be open to anyone who wishes to come in, especially those who are fleeing persecution from their own country. And then there are others who would say that we should not allow entry into those who have the reputation of being terrorists or outlaws or those who are unwilling or unable to assimilate here with us. We're going to ask and answer the question tonight, what is the Christian obligation to the situation that we are currently facing here in this United States of America? Now, you've heard what the media has to say. You've heard what men have had to say. And now we're going to listen to what the Bible has to say about everything that we do here on this program. And now I'd like to turn it over to Tom for just a moment. We're going to get a little information as to where all our broadcasts are going out from and to.
We're broadcasting tonight from KOME 95.3 FM. This area covers from Hamilton to Glen Rose up to I-20 in Fort Worth. KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland. KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo. KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville. KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock. And KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on internet radio at the gospelradionetwork.org. And this program will also be rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on the Gospel Radio Network. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, I know tonight, because of our topic, you'll want to call in. You'll want to get involved in a chat room. Again, the number is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're also airing tonight on Periscope. If you would like to join in and see this as a live program, go to Tom Moore at Poppy Tutor and follow me there, and you will be able to get a notice each time we go on Periscope. And also, we're on Twitter. If you've got questions or comments, hashtag Ask Harris and Moore at the Harris and Moore Twitter account. We also have an email address, questions@harrisonmoore.org. You can ask us a question or maybe even suggest some topics that you would like to see discussed. And don't forget, If you're on internet radio, we have the chat room going on right now at thegospelradionetwork.org. You know, David, when we think about issues like these refugees, Syrian or whatever refugees that are coming in, and you look around in the world today and you look at the media, you look at people's ideas, man has all kinds of strange ideas concerning what government's all about, concerning what the Christian is all about. And our motto is, you have heard what men have had to say. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say. David, isn't it important for us as we begin this episode to talk a little bit about the government and really what its responsibility is in this whole scenario?
No doubt about it. When you mention the fact that there are a lot of people with strange ideas about our government and about our and about Christianity in general, Frank brought up a point last night and earlier this afternoon. You know, there are a lot of people that walk around out there and say, what would Jesus do? They have a good question, but they don't have the answer to their question because they don't read their Bibles. And we would encourage everyone to take their Bibles tonight and look at some of these issues that we're going to look at. You know, and we want to see what the Bible has to say.
You know, it's a lot. Instead of saying, what would Jesus do? A lot of people are saying, what I think Jesus would do.
Yeah,
what the mentality is of a lot of people.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about this, and they've got some strange ideas about what a Christian's obligation is to the government, and you will hear a lot of people say, well, you know, you got to obey your government, Romans chapter 13, and we're going to address that tonight because I think it's very, very important that we understand what we're dealing with here when we're dealing with these refugees that are coming into our country. We have seen what it has done to France. We see what it's doing to Germany. We see what it's doing to some of these other countries over in the European nation. We don't really want, I do not believe, as red-blooded Americans, the majority of the people that I talk to anyway, don't want what's happening over there to happen over here.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking tonight about the Christian's obligation to the refugees. And you know, David, a popular belief is that a Christian's obligation is to be benevolent to any and to all who claim to be refugees. And David, this is whether or not they pose any danger to us or not.
Well, that's very true. I guess first of all, we need to ask the question: what is a refugee, and who is a refugee? Is a person, Tom? Is he a refugee just because he says I'm a refugee, or he got on the refugee bus and he got transported, or he got on the refugee boat?
Yeah.
When he got over here, he automatically became a refugee because he says he's one. I think it's a strange scenario to see so many males coming over under 50 years old that don't have wives or families with them.
You know, and you're right, exactly right, David. There are a lot of people, I believe, who are indeed true-blooded refugees. But how many of these are simply here to tag along, or, as we're going to develop in this program, are here not as receiving benefit but to cause us harm? And David, I think that is the whole issue that's really plaguing the thoughts of a lot of people in our United States of America. As a matter of fact, 31 of our states have said we don't want these refugees. That speaks volumes to regard to the danger that we're about to talk about in regard to these refugees.
So really, when we look at this refugee issue, this is more of a governmental issue than it is a Christian issue. Now, we're going to get into the Christian's obligation to benevolence and compassion later on in this program. But right now, I think what really needs to be addressed is the fact that we've got a governmental issue facing us and not necessarily a Christian issue. I understand we have a phone call.
Give us just welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
My name's George.
George, okay.
And I think that, you know, being said that 31 states don't want refugees, I think if we had a proper screening for those refugees to say who's a refugee, who's not, who's a, you know, fleeing political asylum, I think that with that being in place, if we have a good way to screen these refugees and they're not just tag-alongs like you said, I think what would Jesus do? He would receive them with open arms, as we should. I do have one negative on this, though. We have a lot of homeless people in the United States that need homes. We have a lot of veterans that need homes, too. Why aren't we taking care of them first? And then, if there is room for those refugees that need that political asylum, let's help them out, too. But why can't we take care of our own first?
You know, I think
that's a lot of issue with that.
I think that is an excellent comment there, George. We have plenty of people in our own country that we're not taking care of. George, it seemed like a lot of the money, if not most of the money, we're trying to use to help the world, we're borrowing from other countries. How's that going to really work out for us?
And that's the thing. Why are we giving away so much money to other countries when we can't even take care of our own?
Exactly
now,
right.
And that's one of the things that just really, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, he would take care of his own first, and everybody's his own. However, being in that we're United States, we're Americans, you know, let's take care of our own first. Mm-hmm. Then, once the government has fixed that issue, and fix other issues that we have within our own country, let's help the others that need the help. Not that want the help, but that need the help.
Yeah.
You know, refugees included. If we have the space and room for them, let's find out where, let's put them there, and let's accept them and love them like Jesus would loves us, unconditionally.
Well,
let's receive them with open arms.
Well, George, you bring up a good point, and later on in this program, we will address biblically the benevolence that we owe anyone that is afflicted and in need. And in that addressing that we're going to do, we're going to find out that we don't have to take them home with us. We can be benevolent and compassionate to these people and put them where they are in a safe place over where they are, instead of bringing them over here and trying to assimilate these individuals into a culture that they refuse to accept and they refuse to believe. Because this
in the Bible doesn't it say women and children first?
No, it does not say that.
And if it's there, I'd like for somebody to point that out to us. You know,
and that's what I was understanding, that in somewhere in the Bible there was something saying that we should take care of women and children first.
Well, we do have a specific.
Maybe I misunderstood that verse. But,
well, we do have an obligation. It talks about in James chapter 1, the last verse, you know, we have an obligation to the orphans and the widows, but it didn't really say first.
Women and children first.
Yeah,
right.
You know, but it is an obligation that we have.
Right, because our God took in widows and orphans and made them his. I believe as a Christian that we should help those in need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we should love those that are are refugees. We should love each other at all times in general. And I think that if we had a lot more of that and the compassion that we should be giving to others without judgment, if we had the proper screening again, we should receive these refugees in some form and help them out as much as we can.
Well, you know, therein lies a problem, George. The good screening is going to be almost impossible for this number of people that are entering into our country. That's going to make it very difficult for us to do this. And then for our president to maybe making another executive decision on this, I think is putting America in peril. At least there's the great potential of there being danger to America. You know, and as David alluded to, we could just as well help these people in Syria without bringing them into our country. And we could still be benevolent, still be loving, but help them in their own country.
I agree with that 100%. The question is now, if that were to happen, if we were to help them in that way, would their government be accepting of that? Would the terrorists be, you know, would they target those areas where they're being kept safe? And what would their government do?
And you know, it may not
way,
even
be catch 22.
Yeah, it may not even be Syria, but there could be other countries in that area of where they could feel comfortable with. You know, if I was taken out of the United States of America and placed in Syria or in Germany, where I don't even speak the language, how comfortable would we be with that?
You know? And it wouldn't be, because then, you know, nobody, there'd be a communication gap, and there'd just be all kinds of problems. I think there'd be a lot of, people would get frustrated because they can't speak the language, nobody could understand them. There's just too many problems that would create problems, that problem, and even more so. But, yeah, I agree with you. Let's put them in a country and help them get safe in a country they're comfortable with, that would allow them in and also speak the language and help them out as much as they can.
And I'm with you on this, George, about our president needs to be more concerned with our vets and the homeless of our own country first.
Yes.
You know, we need to take care of home
Amen.
First. Well, I appreciate your call, George. You got anything else you'd like to add to it?
No, God bless you guys, and thank you for what you're doing.
All right, appreciate thanks for calling in, George.
Thanks for calling, George. Great call.
Great call.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
You know, George makes a lot of good points, and really that ties in to the government, because, David, we got to be able to distinguish the difference between what is a government's obligation and what is the Christian's obligation in this whole scenario. And that's really what we're talking about at the beginning of this program, is what is the government's responsibility to this issue?
Well, you know, and as we alluded to just a moment ago, this is a governmental issue, not necessarily a Christian issue. However, the Christian mindset is going to be involved in some of this, but still we've got to go through our government to get anything done as far as a refugee goes. I mean, Frank and I were all three discussing earlier that, like, for instance, the Hillcrest Church of Christ could decide that we're going to sponsor two families from Syria and bring them in and take control of their necessities and bring them here and try to assimilate them into our country. Well, we couldn't do that without the government sponsorship in the first place. We would have to have permission. We would have to get these people vetted. How would you like to be responsible for bringing a terrorist in? You know,
and then you've got families, David, who want to adopt. Maybe they can't have children. They want to adopt. And all the hoops that they have to jump through by our government to bring in a little child to adopt, and then they turn right around and they're wanting to bring in these hundreds of thousands of people with very little screening taking place. They're asking for an enormous amount of problem that could easily take place.
Well, we might ask the question now, what is our responsibility as a nation and as a government? And by the way, that question is answered in our Bibles. And for those of you who are listening, I would encourage you to take your Bible and look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14, and you're going to find the objects and the objectives of our government right there. And let me just read this. I'll be reading out of the King James Version. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. Now, we do not live under a theocracy with a king, and so we've got our government there to answer to, or to governors as unto them that are sent by him. Number one, here is one of the objectives of the government: for the punishment of evildoers, and number two, for the praise of them that do well. Right there you have the two objects of government. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, if you will turn over here to Romans chapter 13, we have another passage of Scripture that gives us the purpose of our government. And by the way, our government is limited. Our government is limited to what it can and can't do, and it is, by the way, limited. It cannot supersede the laws of God. And so in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1, and by the way, any government that oversteps the divine boundary has no divine authority. There will be no authority when this government oversteps these divine principles here. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, notice here, we're going to see the limits and the purpose of civil government again. For rulers are not a terror unto good works, but to evil works. Now get that. They are not a terror unto good works, but to evil works. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God. This is the purpose of the civil government. He is the minister of God to thee, therefore, for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. I'd like to point out one thing here as we look at the purpose of government. We don't have a king. We don't live under a kingship. The supreme law of our land is the Constitution of the United States of America. It is not the president. It is not the Senate. It is not the House of Representatives. It is not even the Supreme Court. It is the Constitution of the United States of America. That is the supreme law of our land. Now, if anybody oversteps that supreme law, we are not actually obligated to listen to what they have to say, because they have overstepped the divine boundaries that God has set forth for us here.
Exactly. And David, when we look at these passages that you've just read for us in 1 Peter and Romans, we're going to see that our government has limitations. And these limitations are the Constitution. Now, we're going to find out that what the Bible says the government's purpose is, mm-hmm. is also what the Constitution says the government's purpose is. And David, the government's purpose, first and foremost, as we're going to see, as you've just read, and as we're going to see the Constitution says, is for the protection of its citizens.
Right.
Now notice, Nowhere in the Constitution or in the Bible does it say that the government's major role or the role of government is the purpose of benevolence. It is the protection, first and foremost, the protection of the people,
the
protection of the citizens of that nation. And that's something, David, that I think that our president and many in our Senate and Congress is horribly overlooking. That is the number one purpose of our government, to protect us.
Isn't it interesting that the Bible points this out long before even the Constitution of the United States of America was put into effect? But as we're going to see here in just a moment, the protection of the United States of America is first and foremost. And as we're going to see, according to the Constitution, there are six purposes or six reasons for the existence of this government.
Before you tell us those things, David, I want to remind our audience that this is a live call-in program. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking tonight about the Christian's obligation to the refugees. Now, David, you were going to tell us about what the Constitution says is the reason for the existence of government.
Okay, the Constitution, six reasons, six purposes for the existence of the government. And these purposes include, number one, unity. Number two, justice. Number three, domestic tranquility. Number four, defense. Number five, promotion of the general welfare of the citizens. And number six, securing liberty for all. Now, I think it's very interesting to point out that four of those six purposes have to do with the protection of the citizens.
Mm-hmm. And you know, David, that ought to be the most important thing to our president.
Mm-hmm.
It ought to be the most important thing that our senators and representatives discuss, is how do we keep our own citizens, our own people, the United States, safe. Now, with that in mind, David, that's why there are so many people who are opposed to what Obama is trying to do in bringing in all of these refugees. And as a result, the screening of these refugees is going to be almost impossible to do it accurately and as it ought to be. And so they're losing sight of our own protection and are more concerned now for people of another nation than they are their own nation, and that is not what the government's supposed to be doing.
Well, you know, the government, our current government would have us to believe that none of this refugee issue or any of it at all has to do with religion. But it all has to do with religion. It has to do with the Muslim religion, by the way. Mm-hmm. And this Muslim religion is counterproductive to Christianity. As a matter of fact, we are the infidels here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see here later as we go through this program that these Syrians as a rule are all Muslims. The majority of them are Muslims, and they are sympathetic to the causes of ISIS and Al-Qaeda as well.
What would you think, David, about the scenario we had? Let's just say for an example, if we had 100,000 people coming, let's just say from Africa, who are refugees, who all are, maybe let's say 10% of them, possess the Ebola virus, what would our government do in that regard? Would they allow any of them to come in if there was a chance that 10% had the Ebola virus? Or would they say, no, nobody's coming in because we've got to protect? What is the difference, David, in bringing in the Ebola virus and bringing in 1 to 10% of radical Muslims, or we might say faithful Muslims, and we're going to talk about that some too, into our country and putting us at harm's way.
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up, and I tell you why. You know, I get the privilege of traveling to Dallas to go to my cancer clinic once a week. Every single week, they ask me the same question when I sign in. Have you been out of the country? Have you been to Libya? Have you been to Africa? Have you been anywhere in contact with someone with the Ebola disease? Mm-hmm. This is a question that they ask me. If anybody answers yes to any of those questions, they are not allowed to set foot in the clinic. Mm-hmm. Not in the clinic. They will escort you out of there. Now, this is kind of after the fact, and when they catch you coming into a clinic like that. But coming into the country, it ought to be screened heavily, quite a bit more heavy than that, mm-hmm. and stop this before it ever starts.
And why is the screening to take place?
To protect the rest of the people.
Exactly. And that is our listeners. That is what we're trying to say about these refugees. I have nothing personally against them. I don't know them. But we've got to protect our people. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and your question or comment, please. Your first name.
Yes, sir. This is Rusty.
Hey, Rusty. Rusty, we hadn't heard from you in a while. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I know. I try to let other people talk. But there's just something. If the children of Israel,
yes,
had thrown open their gates to anybody and everybody, okay, we're bombing Syria, right?
As far as I know, yes, we are. We're not getting much publicity out of it, but I think that's true.
And we're going to throw open our gates. Now, we wouldn't be bombing friends. We'd be bombing the enemies.
Good point.
So anyway, that was just my comment. I'm going to go ahead and hang up and listen to y'all on radio.
Hold on, Rusty. You've got a valid point here. We are trying to eliminate the threat that is trying to come into our house here, and I'm using the term.
We are. Our president isn't.
Yes.
He wants to throw open the Mexican border. Well, the Mexicans are having as much problems with their southern borders as we are with ours.
Yes. Yes, you're correct about that.
I mean, this man is not logical.
Well, he's certainly not. It doesn't seem, and it certainly doesn't appear that the four points and the four purposes of the Constitution to protect the citizens of this country seem to be eluding him at a rapid pace. I don't think he's ever had that at the forefront of his mind.
Well, at the risk of the Secret Service knocking on my door, I'm going to say the man is a megalomaniac.
Yeah.
Well, I don't
he's a
think
narcissist you'd get... to the point of just absurdity.
Or, you know, there's also another alternative that he's doing all these things on purpose because he has an ulterior motive. But, you know,
now they're going to knock on your door.
Well, I'm too far in the country; they can't find me. Well, you make a very excellent point, Rusty, about we're bombing Syria, and yet Syrians are allowed to come in to America. How much sense does that make? And how many among those are fleeing the bombing to come into America to get back at us? You know, we don't know. And that's why they ought not to be allowed in.
I would say about the same percentage that's going into France.
And there's quite a few of those, evidently.
But you know,
well, evidently, and they're having a summit over there, and they're on super high alert. They just shut down Belgium, right?
Yes, they did.
Well, and we're throwing the gates open. How do you check? Okay, their government is dysfunctional. The ISIS is, they're not going to ship no paperwork. How do you vet these people?
I don't think it's a possibility.
No way.
The only thing you can do is take their word for it, and you know what a Muslim will do in regard to infidels.
Well, Muslims lie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of their creed.
Exactly right. Well, Rusty, you make some excellent point. Glad you called in, Rusty. You were always a welcome caller on our program because you always bring life to the program.
I thank you for saying that, sir. And y'all have an excellent evening.
Okay, right. You too, Rusty. Thank you for calling. Great call.
But you know, Rusty makes an excellent point to really what we need to talk about for a moment, and that is our government is for protecting the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are bombing this nation to stop Muslim influence, and yet we're bringing in those people into our country. And how do you separate the innocent from the non-innocent? And is there any innocent? You know, the children, of course, would be innocent, I would think. Of course, there's even some children nowadays who at a very young age are now radical in their beliefs. But how can you let these people in and still claim to be a protector of the citizens of the United States?
Well, I don't believe that you can. You know, the question is a valid question, and nearly anybody can answer the question. I think it's very interesting to point out that the six purposes for the existence of the government, according to the Constitution of the United States, is basically just exactly what the Bible says that the purpose of the government is for the protection of the people. It's for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well.
Yes.
And so we've got to protect our citizens, and that is a government issue, not a Christian issue.
Exactly.
And so now that we've got the government issue established, what I'd like to do, Tom, is move on to the Christian obligation to this issue concerning the refugees.
Now, we have a lot of people, David, are using the phrase, "What would Jesus do?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear that a lot. Well, let's find out exactly what would Jesus do. Don't just throw out a phrase and put in your own ideas, mm-hmm, or your own interpretations. You have heard what men have said. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say. The number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We are on Periscope tonight. We're the Gospel Radio Network. We're airing on several radio stations. We're covering, I don't know, David, if we can say half, but getting close to half of the state of Texas right now. On this program, there are people out there I know who want to talk about this. Call in 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Well, David, what about the obligation of a Christian as far as benevolence and compassion in regard to these refugees coming
in? Well, there is absolutely no doubt that throughout the New Testament scriptures, we are taught by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, to be a benevolent people,
mm-hmm,
to take care of those, especially to those of the household of faith. Do good unto all men. Galatians chapter 6, I believe verse number 10. Do good unto all men, and especially unto those of the household of faith. And so we are to be a benevolent people. We are to be a compassionate people. And one individual asked Jesus, and in response to your question, what would Jesus do? One individual asked Jesus, what constitutes a neighbor? One with compassion and one with benevolence. And Jesus answered him in a parable. And before we read the parable, we need to identify what the parable is, or what a parable is. It is an account or a story that has a true meaning that you can lay right alongside another scenario that you might run into in the world, and side by side, one would describe the other and give you a definition of what one should be.
Exactly.
And so in Luke chapter 10, for those of you that have your Bible, I would like you to go to Luke chapter 10 and look there at verse number 30. Jesus answering a man who very sarcastically asked Jesus, just who is my neighbor? He gives this parable to give him the answer. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, just a point to make here, the Levite and the priest were involved in some type of religious portion and religious ceremony that was taking place there in the temple. So they fully well knew the law of Moses. Included in that law of Moses, by the way, Tom, was if you found an ox in the ditch, you weren't supposed to just walk off and leave him. You're supposed to help him out of the ditch. If he fell down under his load, you were supposed to help him back up. That was a brute beast, much less a human being here.
So you're saying that even though one may be religious, they don't always fulfill their obligations as they ought.
No, they do not. And this Samaritan, the contrast that Jesus is making here is with the Samaritan that the Jews, especially the Levites and the priests, thought was a mongrel race, and they were beneath the Jewish religion to even speak to these individuals. But this Samaritan came by as he journeyed. He came and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave him to the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. And so here we see the benevolent, compassionate nature of a Samaritan. Now, we don't know whether this Samaritan lived under the patriarchal law or what, but we do know that he was a compassionate individual and that he was a benevolent individual. He couldn't do what he did without it costing him something. But I want to point out this one thing, Tom. He didn't take him home.
Exactly. You know, David, I wonder how many of our government officials and our president would be willing to take in one of these refugees into their own home. You know, it's like our government, David. They want to pass all of these health care laws, but they aren't under those laws. They have their own health care system. People also have the problem with they're not going to take refugees into their own country. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
Well, my name is Joseph.
Joseph.
And Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to, your co-host said, you know, was talking about, basically, he called the United States our home, and it is our home.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 John 1. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, Jesus is the Son of God made flesh, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're a mind reader, Joseph. Did you know that? Because we were going to talk about that tonight. But go ahead. Let's go ahead and get going on that. Tell us what's on your mind about that, Joseph.
Well, I mean, very simply put, you know, I don't mind helping somebody, but as y'all were talking about the Good Samaritan, No, he didn't take him into his home.
Right.
He patched him up the best he could and paid for some stuff and said, I'll cover whatever this man needs. He didn't take him to the house and let his wife, put bandages on him and all this. He paid for that to be done.
Exactly. And why do you think he didn't take him home, Joseph?
Because he didn't believe the same.
Right. And do you think that he might also have been worried about the safety of his family? Could that have also played a part in all that?
I certainly believe so.
Well, that's a pretty good parallel to what we have taking place in our nation now, isn't it, Joseph?
I would say so. Yeah. I have a friend that is a very liberal. I love him to death. But I think his views are as skewed as can be because he posts a lot on Facebook about the refugees and all this. And I posted back, I commented back, I said, unless you're willing to, because he's talking about all the Republicans or the right-wingers or conservatives, whatever you want to call us, we're complaining and we're not being Christian and this and that. And I posted back, unless you're willing to take these people in, I mean, this isn't like your neighbor down the street whose house burnt down. This is somebody you don't know. I mean, somebody from another town that, could be a child molester, could be a thief, it could be a pyromaniac. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You're not taking in, you're not going to take in some stranger that you know absolutely nothing about. Have them around your children and around your family. And pay for everything, and feed them, clothe them, and police them. You're just not going to do that,
right?
And
that doesn't make you unloving, does it?
No,
it makes you loving to your own family, and using a little bit of wisdom, right?
Exactly. If it's your neighbor down the street, guess what?
Yeah,
they're going to move in. You're going to help them get back on their feet. They're going to move out. We're talking about bringing in thousands of people who are never going to get, some of them will probably get on their feet, but a lot of them are going to use the system.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we have enough people in America using the system. And
you got that right. And they don't even speak our language. How difficult is that going to be for them to assimilate into our nation?
Impossible. And then they want to change the law to Sharia law, which isn't our law. It's their law.
Exactly.
If they want that law, go somewhere where it is.
Exactly.
And I don't mean to sound hateful about that, but
it's just the way it is, right?
Well, Joseph, we made a point earlier in the program that we can still be compassionate and benevolent to those people where they are. I mean, there's some benefits of leaving them there and helping them there. I mean, that is their culture, that is their language, that is their religion, and they can feel comfortable where they are. We can still be benevolent. We just don't have to bring them over here.
I agree with you. And I have one more point.
Yes.
And I realize we're talking two centuries in between. But we came here, and we were under the thumb of England. And we didn't like what was going on in our world. And our forefathers, they fought for our freedom. And then we had a civil war a century ago because people didn't like what was going on. We fixed our own problem. If it's so bad of us, why are healthy men running? They want to say that it's women and orphans that are the refugees. Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard a statistic that over 60% of them are men.
Yes, and I do believe that is correct. That is what's coming into Germany right now, and I thought the percentage was somewhere around 70 and not 60, but let's just say 60. Where are their wives and where are their families? If it's so bad over there, why would you run off and leave your wife and your family in a place that is persecuting them to the degree that they have to leave?
I agree with you. There's no way in the world I'd leave my children behind. Now, my ex-wife, maybe, but I'm teasing on that.
Well, Joseph, you make some excellent points and a tremendous call that you have here. And I do believe that, one of the mottos of our Navy is this: protect this house. And you make a very good point when you bring up 2 John 9:10-11, and verse number 11 is equally as good as that. For he that brings him into his house and bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. We have all kinds of things that are detrimental to bringing these refugees in as we speak, under the conditions that we're bringing them in. I still say that we can be benevolent to those individuals, just as benevolent and compassionate as we can be, and leave them there or relocate them in a place over there that is safe and go right on with life.
I agree. But I still want to go back to the, if it's so bad and they don't like the people that are running the show, take up arms.
Our problem is, in the United States, we're always trying to fight everybody else's battle. We need to allow them to take care of their own business. Like you said, Joseph, we took care of our business. Let them take care of their business. Let's take care of us. Unless there's somebody that's going to cause trouble, like Hitler's and things like that, I think we need to step in. But we need to let governments take care of their own business. And you make an excellent point with that. We did it. Why can't other governments do it?
And yes, we had the help of the French. But that was a small part. I ain't saying that we couldn't help them. But it should be their fight and we should be backup.
Exactly. Great call, Joseph. You got anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling, Joseph. Excellent thoughts, and we're going to maybe talk a little bit more about that, but thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much. You all have a great evening.
Okay. Thank you a lot. Good point that was made there. We look at this parable of the Samaritan and we see what the Samaritan did. He was benevolent, he was compassionate, but he didn't take the guy home.
No.
And that is one of the things that is troubling so many people in the United States right now. This is one of the reasons that you have 31 states in the United States that said, no, it's not going to happen. You're not going to bring them into our house. And it gets back to the rat poison issue that we talked about earlier. 99.4%, I believe, of most rat poison is good stuff. You could eat it. It's that 0.6% that'll kill you. And here we have Syrians and Middle Easterners that are well known for their terrorism, the ISIS bunch, the Al Qaeda bunch, and they are all interspersed into this Muslim religion. It's all about religion, and if people don't realize that the Muslims are sympathetic to the terrorist group, all you had to do was tune in and watch that terror or the soccer match that was taking place there in Turkey. And they were having a soccer match with a European team, and I don't remember which one of the European teams it was, and it was right after this Paris attack where this ISIS bunch went over there and killed 120-something people, I think it was. But they were having a moment of silence for the victims of the ISIS attack. And while they were having that moment of silence in unison, the Turkish audience at that soccer match started hollering out, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, and in unison showing that they were sympathetic to the terrorist group ISIS.
And that means what? Allah Akbar?
God is great.
God, Allah is great.
So what they're saying is this is God's will.
Yes.
That took place in Paris. You know, David, just think about the, you know, remember, everybody remembers 9/11. There was 19 of Al-Qaeda that was involved in that horrible massacre. 19 that caused all that difficulty. That shows you how small amount it takes to cause the United States of America great difficulty. And that's why, David, we should not let a single one of these people come in here for fear of even 10 or 25 of the people of that same mindset come into our country and put us in harm's way.
Well, we've got just a few minutes. I want to get one more passage of Scripture here in, because you've heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Jesus taught about watching when the Lord is going to come. And he uses another example here about the good man of the house, or the master of the house, or the head of the house. In chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, verse 43, he says, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." He would have watched. He would have protected that house and been ready to protect that house at any given time for the individual that might come in and do harm and damage to his property and to his family. And with that, Tom, I'll turn it over to you. We've got just a few minutes to give our credits to our sponsors.
We want to remind everyone of our sponsors to this program: the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas; the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas; the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas; the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas; the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas; the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo; the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas; and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. These are brethren who make this program possible. We're thankful that you've been with us tonight. The thing that we've been discussing tonight is very controversial, but David and I and Frank, we're going to attack it from a biblical standpoint. You've heard what men have had to say. We need to be listening what the Bible has to say. David, give us a final concluding thought about our topic of the night.
Well, what we're looking at here is a struggle between the Muslims to take control of our country and infiltrate our country any way that they possibly can. Certainly concerned about the Muslim religion, about their goal to destroy all of the infidels, and you and I and everybody else that stands up for Jesus Christ are the infidels, according to them. And
exactly.
If given their way, every faithful Muslim would have us put to death right now. And we're not talking about moderates and radicals. We're talking about faithful and unfaithful Muslims. All the faithful Muslims are going to try to destroy the Christians of the world.
It's been a delight to have you in our audience tonight. If you've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible, we'll see you right here on this channel next Monday at 6 p.m.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.